Welcome. This is the show for Disrupting the Drift. Welcome to the show. Disrupting the deceptions, the lies, all the things in modern society that are killing off our power, your strength, and your spiritual connection to your higher power. We're here disrupting all those disempowering ways of thinking, acting, and living, and bringing you back to what is true and what is essential for you to know to live a great life. David, welcome. Always good to be here with you, my friend.
Love doing this, man. This is like the highlight of my week.
Yeah, I always walk away from our conversations here with greater aliveness and vitality and just present to a bigger possibility in life. And I'm so present to a greater possibility just with you and I in the world and some of the projects that are happening in the world. I know in my own life and business, but with you as well. So I'm really inspired and grateful to get to be here with you at a time in the world where, well, the world is troubled. The world is in crisis. And I'm speaking at the level of humanity. Like people are, crashing against walls. People are in emotional fetal positions, whether they show it or not. The world's troubled. So we need conversations like these that disrupt that kind of drift into the black hole of humanity and disrupt the cultural drift into immorality, sensitivity, being offended, overreactive, blame, fault, being the professional victim, all of that. We're speaking to people who are like us, have a hunger to grow, a hunger to know about living a bigger life, a greater life. I wanted to start out talking about meditation. David, you sent me this article about daily meditation works as well as a popular drug to calm anxiety, a study finds. It says anxiety symptoms like restlessness, feelings of worry and dread, and sleep problems can interfere with daily life, relationships, and career goals. Many people get relief using psychiatric medications, but finding the treatment that works best is an individual journey, and some look to find additional ways of coping with their symptoms. Meditation is a well-known method of calming anxiety, but now there's a new evidence showing it to be effective at managing anxiety. For the first time, scientists compared patients who took an intensive 8-week mindfulness meditation program to patients who took escitalopram. It says the generic name of the widely prescribed and well-studied anxiety drug Lexapro. So they found that both interventions worked equally well in reducing debilitating anxiety symptoms. Talk therapy, another effective treatment for anxiety for some people, was not addressed in the study. The study was published in JAMA, Psychiatry. The research began long before the COVID-19 pandemic struck, when it could still be conducted in person. Wow. So, yeah, what say you? Meditation as an antidote to anxiety.
So I'll go to what Blaise Pascal said. This is one of the most important quotes that you will hear. All men's miseries derive from not being able to sit still in a quiet room alone. In the scripture, there is a statement. It's really almost like a directive of God. Be still and know that I am. But when your mind is not quieted, then it becomes like the playground. It becomes like the devil's playground. Anything can be infused into you through the environment, and especially people who are involved in social media. They don't have control over their own mind. And here's a more important thought. It is that until you become aware that all of your thoughts are not your own, you will never be free. So what does meditation do?
You said something really profound there. Until someone comes to the recognition that their thoughts are not their own, did I get that right?
That's correct.
What do you mean by that?
Well, because from the time that we are born, we are programmed by our environment. And that's, you know, if you're born in China or Holland or Indonesia, you learn from and you absorb
New York City or
doesn't matter where you're born.
San Francisco, California, like myself. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Houston, Texas. Hey, but you are programmed by your environment. And that is the way it's designed to be. But I got to tell you this, that in the ancient Grecian fashion of Leonidas, the Spartan way, was that the mothers were allowed to maintain control over the children until the age of 7, when the boys were pulled away from their mother and they were immersed in the Spartan male culture. So what they had to do is at the age of 7...
The men, the boys went with the men and then the women, the girls stayed with the women.
And so then they learned a whole new level of what their responsibility as a man was from the men. And the women, right? They learned and they had their respective positions in life. You know, today you can be anything you want, which is, I think is a wonderful thing. But the problem is that we have so many influences. We have millions of influences, but particularly in our own circles, we have thousands of influences and we call those people what? Influencers, right?
Every influencer, every social media profile is vying for attention. Every advertiser, everyone these days, it's just it's an open forum for your to accessing your mind. I've done some research into like the psychology, like how these engineers in these social media platforms study psychology and what hooks people, what addicts people, what gets people addicted to certain content, and they're putting content out that they know appeals to the lowest common denominator in human beings, including letting just total negativity, even though it's false, or on the flip side, total positive, everything seems positive on. So it's either false positivity or false negativity. And people pile on into these non-realities, these unrealities. And they're giving themselves over. And it's addictive, though. It's addictive. And the positive is people don't feel equal to. They're comparing themselves. They feel less than or living vicariously through others, but at the same time moment feeling less than, feeling inferior. It drives people into that. And then people go into, you know, their food comfort or their drugs or ways to anesthetize that not being enough of something. And then on the flip side, the negativity, it's like pile on the negativity. You know, that's addictive. That dark side of humanity has to be in hate, in tear down, in burn down mode. There's something addictive, but it's appealing to the lowest common denominator in people.
So true. And I'm going to go back to what Blaise Pascal said. He said, all men's misery derived from not being able to sit in a quiet room alone. But there's another component of this. It's so clear as you get older, when you're young, you think, oh, the world is my smorgasbord and I can have a little bit of this and a little bit of that.
Is that why it still seems like a smorgasbord to me? Because I'm
still
young.
It seems like a smorgasbord. But at the same time, you know, you got to be careful that you, because whatever you get into gets into you.
And I just want to repeat what you said because it's profound. Whatever you get into gets into you and makes a home in you.
Yes.
It becomes a part of the not you.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? When we were kids, you know, Walt Disney was a brilliant man for a lot of reasons. He gave us the story of Pinocchio. And what happened was that when Pinocchio was set upon by the wolf, or the fox, I guess it was, and his cohort, they took him to Pleasure Island. Well, this is the smorgasbord of life that we live in now. But what happened is, as he indulged in all of the things on Pleasure Island, he ended up turning into a jackass. And this is exactly a perfect metaphor. And when I was a kid, I thought, God, I don't want to turn into a donkey. But here's what Blaise Pascal says about it. He says, truth is so obscure in these days and times, and falsehood so established that unless we love the truth, we cannot know it.
You know what I just got there is that Blaise Pascal saying that, you know, the root of all problems for a human being is his inability to sit still in a room. It takes a genuine deep, authentic love of the truth.
Yes.
To actually put yourself in a place, a space where you sit still. You be still with yourself and get present to what's actually going on with you and be confronted by your ego and all that, the voices, the noise in your head and the pain and the discomfort, the restlessness in your body, is to get present to. It takes a love of the truth, because that is the truth. Being still, you get confronted, you come face to face with the truth. You stop, press the mental brakes, pause, you drop into your body, into the present moment, and you fall awake. And it may be like waking up to your house on fire. Maybe, and to be with that and see that before you just run out of the house, but you have to be able to say, wait, my house is on fire. The way I'm living my life, I'm burning down my temple. My mind, body, my being is being burned. And the way I'm handling that dirty pain is I'm projecting it out on others, trying to burn other people's houses down because mine's burnt. And I don't want to deal with my house burning down.
It's so true. And the question comes to mind, though, why meditate? Well, if a person is meditating as an alternative to taking drugs, okay, that's great. But when they take a drug, do they know what they're doing when they take that drug? All they're looking for is some kind of relief, right? Are they looking for the truth? You see, there's different reasons for doing the right things mm-hmm. and the wrong things. But if you're going to meditate, wouldn't it be best if what you are on is a journey to find the truth that sets you free? And I'll tell you one more Blaise Pascal quote. Mm-hmm. People almost invariably arrive at their beliefs not on the basis of proof, but on the basis of what they find attractive. Now, we call that today confirmation bias. There's a part of our ego that always wants to believe whatever we want to believe, in spite of the fact that there may be evidence that it's very bad for us, right? People, you know, did they have to put cancer warnings on cigarette packages? People were dying of cancer. People were getting sick all the time from cancer, but they put the warning on the label. Now the person's informed as to why they're going to get cancer. Does it make it any better?
The truth that they might get cancer, the truth of that, yes. Who cares? I'm attracted to whatever that drug offers me, right? It superimposes over truth.
Right.
Yeah.
So it goes back to the question, why meditate? Well, do you want to become enlightened? That's the question. If you want to just get rid of some symptoms, okay, good. Meditate for that reason. Maybe there will be more that dawns on you. Maybe you will become awakened to some things that you never dreamed of. This is an important component. I started meditating when I was 17 years old. I think you did too. I took years and years and years to meditate to get to that point where I wasn't having these thoughts flooding into my mind, right? And after about 3 or 4 or 5 years, I got to those few moments where my mind was actually clear, where there wasn't anything flooding in. Like, it was just me in the moment. And then when I started to become aware of things that I could see about myself, I then began to become aware of things I never believed I could see. I started seeing things about myself and other people and having a deeper sense of the meaning of my life. And I think, so the meditation, the idea of meditation is this: if you want to have a sense of the meaning of your life, forget about the meaning of life. It's too big. There's too much there. But what about the meaning of your life? That is the biggest takeaway of why people should meditate. Why am I here? What am I good for? What am I going to do? What can I accomplish? What shouldn't I be doing? You see the things you can see, and then that leads you to things you never thought you would see.
What I'm hearing is, like, meditation allows for expansion of your mind, your sight, your inner sight, insight. That expanded mind, there's a greater space of things. It's almost like a defocusing. I think most people, and I'll include myself, it's so easy to get tunnel vision and to get so focused and live in a very focused thought stream, a thread of thoughts and a kind of way of viewing the world through a keyhole in a way. And so meditation, when you just get present to your own body, you get present to your sense doors, you get present to the here now moment, okay, something expands, something opens up. And in that greater space, there's more clarity to see more about. You can start pointing to your thoughts. You can start pointing to your emotions rather than being consumed by them. There's just greater space and clarity, including in access to your divine, something divine within you, your divine nature, your creator, your higher source. You get present to something greater than yourself. In the Bible, is it Jesus that said, go into your prayer closet and be still and know that I am God. So it's a different angle from the Blaise Pascal saying the root of all problems for man is his inability to sit still in a room. That's true, but I would say even a greater truth or an access to something even greater is, as Jesus said, is go into your prayer room and be still and get present to something, a knowing. The calling of the conscience is your creator. It's a connection to a greater truth, a greater source, God.
Most people are uncomfortable with the idea of having an intimate relationship with their creator.
Because it means they have to be less than something else. The ego does not like that. The ego has to be the end game, judge, jury, executioner, right? To have something greater than oneself, it takes a certain humility.
But our human craves a relationship with another human. And as long as we are craving a relationship with another human, we're going to fall short of the fulfillment that we can only have with the source of everything that created us. And think about the word no. Most people don't understand the word no. K-N-O-W. It's a very esoteric and spiritual word. It means to be intimate with. So when God said, be still and know that I am, well, that first of all, that's the thing that you don't realize, that God does not call himself God. He calls himself I am, okay? And so if you want to have a relationship with God, you will know the I am and that you are not. If you think that you are the I am, and if you think that all that matters is how your life is affected by everything around you, you're going to be a narcissist. You're going to be a person who is self-focused and you know, exocentric, so that everything has to serve that person, that little God self inside you. But the idea is this, and this is another Blaise Pascal for you. He said, the supreme function of reason is to show man that some things are beyond reason. Wait a minute. That's so enormous, because look at how much people look for proof of everything. People want proof that God exists. Well, I see a blade of grass. That's enough proof for me. Where'd it come from if it wasn't brought into the existence by the I am? It doesn't take much, really, when you're looking for the truth. But if you don't want to know the truth, there are none so blind as those who will not see. So I go back to the question, why meditate? Is it because you're looking for the deeper truths of life? Are you looking for that deeper connection to something greater than yourself? Are you just looking to sort of alleviate some symptoms and feel better? Well, you know, meditation may not make you feel better. Meditation may bring you face to face with the man in the mirror.
The insight I'm getting to here is, so there are different ways of meditating. So you can meditate just to calm down, calm your nerves, let's say, right?
Of course.
To meditate. Yeah. And you could measure that, you know, in your neuronal patterns, your electrical or chemical systems. You know, it's like biofeedback, hypnosis, self-hypnosis. You know, those are calming. Yoga practice, you know, getting on a yoga mat and moving your body with some breathing, it has a calming quality overall on the creature. Brain, you know, the different systems and brain and the body and body. And it's like, okay, there's that. But I think to distinguish what we're talking about here is like what Blaise Pascal said, the root to all of mankind's problems is his inability to sit still in a room. And then also on the other side of that, on a more spiritual side of things, as Jesus said, you know, go into your closet, be still, and know that I am God. And you earlier distinguished the word know, K-N-O-W, to also mean intimate with. So to know, to be intimate with, and to know it that intimately that there's a presence of God, a greater presence, a greater higher power. And to know that, and what I get out of that is to know in your experience. So, but that's a different kind of meditation. That to me is like a prayer, but a silent prayer, mm-hmm. a kind of meditation where yep. you're not asking for anything. I'm not talking to God or something. I'm actually being and being intimate with, connected to my experience intimately of my creator. I like the word, intimacy also, I like to say, into me I see, intimacy, into me I see as an access to something greater than oneself.
Who wants to see into themselves? Most people actually do not want to sit down and face inward.
Yeah, why though?
Well, because there's pain.
Yeah, it's pain.
And there's judgment and there's anger.
Yeah. Well, the judgment and the anger and the fear and the resentment and all that, victimhood and all of that, it turns into toxicity. It's toxins in the body. Right, and becomes so painful. It's just this pain body, dirty pain, that it's if you're not confronting it, then you're going to just start bleeding it out, projecting it out on others to lower the homeostasis of humanity, to bring others down to your level, to tear others down. That kind of nastiness that lurks in the background.
But I want to go back to this: all men's miseries. Now, remember, if we're miserable, if we're unhappy, it is derived from not being able to sit in a quiet room alone because we catch up with ourselves. Mm-hmm. But let's say we caught up with ourselves. Maybe there's a conscience,
yeah,
a knowing, a relationship with a greater sense of knowing that will relieve that by showing you the truth that will set you free.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. Through meditation, getting in access to your conscience, that knowingness inwardly, and then you live in congruence with your conscience, and life works itself out. And that old dirty pain and the lack of forgiveness, all the judgment, it starts leaving your body, leaving your being. Look, everyone, my invitation to you, and I don't know if you have one, David, but is to take on a practice of meditation. Try on a consistent meditation practice. And look, if you want to do it just to calm your nerves, do that. If you want to do it to find your, as an access to your creator and your guiding divine force, do that. I think it's in your intention. But I think the practice of meditation, it has benefits and potentially way beyond just benefit. Total life transformation. Anything last words for me, David?
The reason why people take drugs, they don't even know what they're taking or why. They just want to feel better. But do you want to be better?
Yeah. What a beautiful intention. The desire to want to be better. I've many times in my life I had to get on my knees and just kind of cry out to something greater. And what am I not seeing here? I just want to be a better person. Yeah, very good. Everyone, if you got some value from the show today, please share the show. Leave positive comments. Subscribe, to your notifications too, so you get notified every time we drop a show. Our goal is to drop a show once, sometimes twice a week. And lots of love your way. Thank you, David.
Thank you, Baron.